Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that even as we come from a whole week of work, whole week of challenges, whole week of different things, Lord, that have happened. And Lord, we pray and thank you for the local church that is still here. We pray that thy Holy Spirit, Lord, would speak to us in a special way. Even as we gather in your presence to learn of what you have for us, Lord, to learn of the Word of God that will be able to transform us and teach us in a special way. Lord, we know that many people probably come with things in their hearts. Some things are not resolved. But yet, Lord, we know that your Holy Spirit is ever present with us to guide us. And as we learn on Friday, Lord, how that you are the Holy Spirit who walks with us throughout our lives, and you will take every challenge we have and turn it into victory as we submit to you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the situation in Shanghai at this time. We pray for Brother So and the church over there, that you would protect them. And Lord, especially help them, Lord. Allow them, Father, to continue to stay at a place. Otherwise, Father, give them a better place. But at the same time, Lord, protect the believers and their families, especially, Lord, from the oppression of the communist police. I pray that you would help us to have a heart, Lord, for these believers who are suffering overseas. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a burden even for the work here, because of what the freedom we have, Lord. Help us not to take for granted, Lord, that this will continue indefinitely. Lord, we pray that your heart will spur us, Lord, to action for your honor and your glory. We pray today as we rest in your presence, as we understand your word, we pray it will help us, Lord, to be able to see things from a different perspective, even as we study your word. Speak to us in a special way. Be with the children as they learn as well. I pray that thy Holy Spirit, Lord, will preside over the services today, that everything we do and say, Father, will honor your name. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Today there will be no notes. Okay, so kind of just not so much sit back, relax. You can take down notes as we go along. But just going to divide the Sunday Bible hour just into two portions. The first 5 to 10 minutes, just want to kind of recap the master plan of evangelism, and also to drop some things into our hearts so that we can actually do what God wants us to do. Then the second part, we'll be looking at how we rest in the Lord. Okay, just a study of Psalm 37, and hopefully it will be an encouragement for us. There's three simple points for us to understand what it means to rest in the Lord. All right? Okay, so by way of introduction, there are, just for the master plan of evangelism, you can remember the 8 steps. The 8 steps of the master plan of evangelism, I think. What's the first one? What's the first one, anyone? So it's a selection, okay? Selection. Okay, maybe I just quickly go through the selection. And the first one is selection refers to prayerfully choosing the right individual to work with or for the Lord to bring to us, okay? So the first part is the selection. Then comes the association, okay? Association. The second one is after we have prayerfully selected the person or the Lord brought the person to us, the association refers to spending time building a relationship and a spiritual friendship with that person. Okay, spending time with that person. Then the third one is a consecration. The consecration means a lifestyle, refers to a lifestyle of personal obedience and encouraging the believer. Okay, lifestyle of personal obedience and encouraging the believer to obedience, to obey the Lord in every point. Okay, hope you're remembering these things because it's very important in the area of discipleship. Next one is impartation. That simply means through our lifestyle, we influence the other person for Christ. Through our lifestyle of Christ, we influence the other person for Christ. Okay, the next one is a demonstration. Demonstration refers to showing the life of Christ through our lives and also through our service. In other words, we demonstrate what it means to live for Christ, we demonstrate what it means to forgive, we demonstrate what it means to serve, we demonstrate what it means to commit to a lifestyle of Christianity, of following Christ. And then there's a delegation. The delegation refers to encouraging gently the person to get involved through our involvement. As we serve God, we actually gently just seamlessly lead the person, hey, why don't you follow me in the VBS, you know, I'll be doing this. Why don't you be part and parcel of? So basically bringing the person into the ministry, delegating it to them, doing small parts, okay? And then later on, the supervision. Supervision refers to being with the individual throughout the learning, growing process, okay? As you bring the person to serve with you as they are learning to obey. You actually supervise them as they grow. And finally, the reproduction, to encourage the individual finally as you grow, as true spiritual discernment, knowing that the person has reached a certain platform, to actually say, okay, I think it's about time you go and reach out to someone else. Okay? So any questions for the 8 steps? These 8 steps, I'm praying that it will be in, will be received by every one of us in Ambassador, that we will be able to grow, okay, as a result of that. Okay? Now, what are the privileges of this? Number one, we will then be strong growing disciples if we have this process and we practice it, number one. Number two, there will be a strong caring process because everyone will be taking care of someone else. Okay? Number three, there will be growth in commitment to the Lord and then also to the younger ones. And then finally, by God's grace, we will have Jesus spread out through Ambassador the discipleship mentality. Okay? We will never be able to grow effectively unless we actually use this as a structure that we can use for our lives. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Okay. Then, what does the Lord require of us in this area? Number one, our willingness to actually separate to this work. Our willingness to actually do this work. Okay, that means our time, our energy, and our sacrifice of time for others, and also our prayer for the individual of whom we are following up. Okay, so just want to kind of encapsulate what we've learned. This is the third time I'm going through this, and many of us have probably gone through it already. And I'm hoping that God will burn in us a desire to do the work. Okay, to actually honor Him in following Him. And so, in terms of action, all right, we just want to wrap up this part in action. Firstly, just some questions for you all to begin thinking. And hopefully we will be able to actively not just do this, but promote this as part of our life in Ambassador. Okay, number one, firstly, have we understood the process? Okay, the 8 steps, number one. Number two, do we have a vision? Okay, we need to have a vision of discipling one individual for Christ. Just one. Okay, discipling one individual for Christ. And then number three, to prayerfully then commit to undertake that individual to win the person to Christ or to help him grow in Christ. Okay, I'm just talking, but hopefully you all will be able to get the frame is actually for us as we understand the discipleship process that we've just gone through over the last 2 months. I hope it will not be wasted. Alright, that we will actually imbibe these principles in our lives and use it. Okay? So, have a vision for discipling one individual. Prayerfully commit to undertake one individual to win the person to Christ or for discipleship. And then number three, after you have actually established that, have the vision, and then God has brought someone, begin establishing your friendship and relationship with the individual. Contacting that person, working with that person. Alright? And then live the process with the individual to the point that the person will be able to reproduce himself. Okay? So any questions with that? Any questions with that? And I'm hoping that this will be the life of Ambassador, alright? As over the years, okay? If there are obstacles in our life that we need to overcome, let's just do that because I believe we honor the Lord as we focus on this. Okay? Okay. Any questions? Everyone is very quiet. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm really hoping as your shepherd that we will actually move forward, that our lives will actually impact someone else, not just our own surroundings, okay? That God will really use us in a mighty way. Let's turn to Psalm 37. That's what we're going to do today. Psalm 37, a little bit off the beaten track, if you like to say. Psalm 37, we're going to be looking at something very different from what we've been doing, and hopefully it will be just a time that we can just look at the scriptures itself and allow God to speak to us. Okay? Psalm 37, verse 1 to 11. We won't read through the whole thing, but we'll just read through the first 4 verses. Okay? But we're going through from verse 1 to verse 11. Okay, I'll read verse 1, then you read verse number 2 and so on. Okay? Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 2. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4. Thy Okay, let's have a word of prayer, right, as we start. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again that your Holy Spirit will speak to us and to encourage us, Lord, in this particular passage of how we need to rest in you. Lord, we have a lot of activity with the evangelistic meeting and a lot of things happening, but yet, Lord, we help us, Lord, to have a settled heart to learn, to reflect, Father, on all the things that have happened and how we need to put our trust in you in the many things that are happening in our lives. We thank you for what you're going to do now. We ask you to increase our faith. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, just by way of introduction, there are two passages in the book of Psalms that have this as the theme. Looking at the world, and feeling jealous about the world. Okay? Psalm 37, interestingly, and Psalm 73, the numbers are reversed. But some of the common thoughts with this particular passage would be, as a background, is those who live right get a bad deal. Those who live right, those who do the right thing, always get a bad deal. What does that mean? You know, as a Christian, you know, to do right, you have to abstain from things like that. And then as you see other so-called Christians or other people doing it, and say, how come I cannot do that? Okay, that's one particular thinking. Another one is, why should I deprive myself of all the good things just because I'm a Christian? You mean as a Christian, I'm not allowed to enjoy life? The answer is no. Okay, but what do you mean by enjoy life? Is it enjoying the things of this world versus enjoying the goodness of God? That's a different thing. So some Christians have this thought, as they grow up, as they do things, even as adults, you know, why can't I do these things because I'm a Christian? Okay, many young believers do that and say, I want to enjoy myself and then give myself to the Lord later. Let's look at Psalm 37. Okay, we've read through some of that. And I just want to bring up 3 points and then bring from verse 37 the response. First thing, look at the response of Christians in general, God's rationale, and how do we actually rest in the Lord. Okay, so these 3 points, I hope you will be able to take it. Number one, the first lesson, all right, from first, I'll just give you the lesson and then we'll draw that out from the book of Psalm 37. Okay? Firstly, we want to realize that many of us as Christians, let me just read a few verses. Psalm 37, verse 1. God says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, verse 7. Then fret not thyself again because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. When the psalmist David wrote this, it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to reflect the human character. And what's a human character? How quick we are to yield to earthly, natural sentiments and responses in the face of trials, offenses, and injustice. How quick we are to yield to earthly, natural sentiments and response in the face of trials, offenses, and injustice. Okay, example. Remember the servant of Elijah? Remember Elijah? He has a servant, and the Syrian army was coming to attack. And one day, in the morning, when the servant of Elisha went out and they saw the armies of Syria, and said, "Oh, the armies of Syria are coming, and we're going to be destroyed," or something like this. Okay, so he lived by sight. He saw what was happening, and he told Elisha, "What are we going to do?" So, firstly, the servant of Elisha, at the sight of trials, responded in a human way because we live a lot by sight. We live a lot by sight. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. The Bible says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and servants said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do with all these problems around us?" And what did Elisha do? Elisha actually calmed him down, "Fear not." Usually when we see things by sight, there is that fear. Okay, there is that fear. And so Elisha actually told the servant, "Fear not," and then Elisha prayed. And that's very important for us to understand. When we face fear, we need to face it with faith. And Elisha prayed, and when Elisha prayed, what did he do? He asked God to open the eyes of the servant, all right? And what did he see? That the armies of God were more in number than the Syrian army. Okay, the servant Elijah became afraid at the sight of the Syrian army. And then the second one in the face of offenses. In the face of offenses. In Luke chapter 9, you don't have to turn there. When they were walking through the city of Samaria, they went through, and then Samaritans were actually rejecting Christ, and the disciples wanted to call down fire to destroy them. Okay? Jesus had to teach them. Because why? They were naturally responding to, of course, there's this jealousy over their master. Okay? They were offended and they wanted God to destroy them. But God says the Son of Man has come not to destroy man's life but to save them. Okay? And of course, finally, sometimes you get very angry at injustice. You find that the Bible actually talks about that. If you look at Psalm 37 and verse 7, I read again, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Sometimes injustices will come. Things that happen that shouldn't have happened actually happen. And you'll find that, hey, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that, you know. And so we boil, we get angry. And how quick, number one, first lesson, how quick we are humanly to yield to earthly natural sentiments, okay? But point number two is, God actually explains why we shouldn't get angry. God explains actually why we shouldn't get angry. God's rationale why we should not fret, we should not be angry, we should not be envious, and we should not be resentful when all these things happen around this world. Okay, I'll give you a few verses and then I'll just highlight. Okay, the first reason in verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass." Psalm 37 verse 2 says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass." The idea is there will come a time. The time is coming for them. They will be cut down. Okay? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. Let's turn there. Deuteronomy 32, 35. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. Let's read together, alright? Ready? Deuteronomy 32 and verse 35. Ready? 1, 2, go. "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." Okay? The day for their foot shall slide in due time. There will come a time, the wicked who enjoy life so far, there will come a time they will be cut off, number one. The second one is, if you look at Psalm 37 verse 2, "And wither as the green herb." Wither as a green herb. The withering as a green herb has the idea of disintegrate. In other words, the things that they will do, just like a grass that over time will wither, that means that their evil deeds are only temporary. What does the Bible say about sin? Sin is only pleasure for a season, a short while. But after that, you pay the consequences. Sin is only pleasure for a season. You pay the consequences later. Let's turn to Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews. That gives us the verse in verse 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. The Bible verse 25, Hebrews 11, chapter 11 verse 25. Okay, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Okay, sin is only pleasure for a season, and we need to understand that. Some people think you can enjoy life forever. No, you can't. God says sin is very short-lived. Okay, Satan encourages the pleasure, he encourages the sin, but the Bible says pleasure of sin will only be for a season. So as a Christian, as we look at this, we need to realize that, hey, these people will soon be cut down. The time will come, number one. Number two, their evil deeds will be temporary. And in chapter 37, verse 9, "The evildoers shall be cut off." The word cut off has the idea of being destroyed. Finally be destroyed. Alright? And so when we look at this, firstly, God's rationale is for the wicked, we shouldn't be angry. Because finally they will lose. They will lose finally. Okay? But what are the good things for the righteous? Why should not we get angry fret, envious, and be resentful. For the righteous, in verse 3, the Bible says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land. Firstly, you will have stability. You will dwell in the land. To the Jewish people, that's very important, to dwell in the land. Okay, that's one. The secondly, verily thou shalt be fed. You will be provided for. As a Christian, we don't have to be angry because God will provide for us and we will be stable as we do the right thing. Okay? Verse 4, just go through the verse. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's an assurance of answered prayer for the Christian who do right. There's an assurance of answered prayer. Okay, there's an assurance of answered prayer. Verse 5, and he shall bring it to pass, the assurance of God's sovereignty. God will bring things to pass, okay, as we learn to trust God. Okay? And verse number 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. As we humble ourselves, God will exalt us in due time. As we humble ourselves before the Lord, God will exalt us in due time. And that is very important. There was one time when this is an autobiography of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards actually was kicked out of his church. Some of you who know the background. There was one thing that Jonathan Edwards had an uncle who wasn't very happy with him about certain things. So there was this minor offense that happened. The uncle was so angry and he had some influence in the church. He removed Jonathan Edwards from the church. Okay, I mean, together with the people, of course. And Jonathan Edwards kept quiet about it. And finally, I think those of you who know the background of Jonathan Edwards, he actually went to he preached to the Indians. Okay, and of course, he had some difficulties. He had some difficulties in his life as a result. And the encouraging thing was 25 years later, the uncle came back and apologized to him for what he did 25 years ago. Okay, one thing I learned from Jonathan Edwards, he is someone who will not fight back and he's just going to learn to trust the Lord. And God did many wonderful things. The most notable is how God used him to spark off the Great Awakening in the history of American revivals. And you know, if you read the life of Jonathan Edwards, you will realize how much he learned to rest in the Lord over all the things that have happened in this life. And he actually saw the goodness that come back after that. Okay? So in this situation, the Bible says, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Okay? People may strive to put us down. People may strive to do different things with us. But you know, as we humble ourselves, God will exalt us in his time. When we have done the right thing, when we have in our humble faith and trust committed to him all our ways and aim to walk with him, God will show us his righteousness. Okay? Then verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. For those who just come in, it's Psalm 37 we are at. Okay, we're learning Psalm 37. But the meek shall inherit the earth. The idea of inheriting the earth means obtaining the privileges that we have as Christians in the salvation of God. Okay, Psalm 37 verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth. And just to frame it for those who just come in, we're looking at how we need to face up to sometimes the injustice of this world and the things of this world, and God is giving reasons why we shouldn't get angry at that. Okay? So, I'll just read a comment that Spurgeon had on this, Psalm 37 verse 11. Even if they suffer, their comfort shall overtop their tribulations. That means it will be more than their tribulations. By inheriting the land, it's meant they will obtain the privileges and the salvation of God. Such as are truly humble shall take their lot with the rest of those who are Christians, to whom all good things come by a sacred birthright. This is very powerful, whereby because we belong to God, we have the privilege of God's blessings already given to us. Already given to us. It's just like if you are the heir of a king. Okay, I think heir of a king. All right, you go to school and people may bully you and all that, but you know you're still the heir of a king. That privilege that God has given to us as the heir will never be taken away. Okay, and you know we need to reflect on that many times as Christians, as we look in this world and say, I mean, as a Christian, I'm going to give up this, I'll give that. Actually, no, a Christian, as when we think like that, it means our heart is set on the things of this world. But when we realize, hey, I've got much more in Christ, then our thought will be different, okay? So, how do we then rest in the Lord? How do we, as we face the offenses, as we face the trials, as we face the injustices of the world, what do we do? All right? As we study Psalm 37, God gave us many words. All right? We're going to study some of these words, and hopefully that will help us to understand how we can actually learn to just rest in the Lord. All right? Psalm 37, for those who came in, we have no notes today, so just follow along in Psalm 37. How do we rest in the Lord? Number one, the first phrase is, fret not thyself. The word fret not, the word fret has the idea of get incensed, slowly getting warmer and warmer. Okay? The idea is getting angry. Fret not thyself because of evil doers. Number one, don't get angry. Don't fret. First one. Number two, verse one also, neither be thou envious. Okay? Envious is the idea of being jealous at the workers of sin. You know, just because, well, you know, he's not a Christian, he can get what he wants, he can do what he wants, you know. The world can just hang out and just hang loose kind of thing. They do what they want, and they really literally just enjoy themselves. I don't know about you, do you get a sense, I'm working, and have all these responsibilities, and those guys don't go enjoy the life. You know what God says? Don't be jealous of them. Do not grow warm, get incensed because of people who sin, evildoers, who intentionally and deliberately do the wrong things. We need to realize this, because when we get easily affected by the surrounding, it shows that our inner man is not calm. We are very easily affected by the things of this world. We need to have that sense that God teaches us, don't get angry. Of course, He will give us other principles. Firstly, don't get angry. Okay, number one, and don't be envious. Then in verse number two, He actually explains what they shall be cut off. All right, so that's the first two. Fret not thyself, don't be envious. Number three, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. When you see all the offenses, when you see all the injustices, when you see all the trials that come to you, learn to put faith in the Lord and aim to do the right thing all the time. And in verse 3, and you will have stability and adequate sustenance. So when you face the trials, what do? Don't get angry. Don't get envious of other people. Learn to put faith in the Lord, trust in the Lord, and do the right thing. And that's very important. A lot of people say, like, I'll trust God, but then we need to aim to do the right thing too. Trust in the Lord and do good. Those two things come together. Okay? Then the next one in verse number 4, or let's turn to Isaiah 28 verse 16. Isaiah verse 28 verse 16. Just want to highlight this because it's very important in terms of when we face the difficulties of life. And many times we will see how come the wicked get all the fun and they get all the blessings, so-called. Why as Christians we kind of work and work and we don't get anything? Actually, we do a lot when we learn to trust the Lord. Okay, Isaiah 28 verse 16, let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Okay, so God in the Old Testament have already prophesied Christ as the foundation stone, and he that believeth, he that put his faith in, he that trusts shall not make haste. In other words, there will be no anxiety when we put our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very important because I think in this life that we face, we get so many stresses. We need to learn to just learn to trust God and do the right thing. Okay? Verse number 4. Another thing we need to do to rest in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord. What does delight in the Lord mean? I was reading this, it's so funny. The word delight thyself means be soft and pliable. Be soft. Psalm 37 verse 4. Be soft and pliable. Pliable means easily influence. Easily influence, what do you mean? The first there has the idea, Be pliable, be soft, be tender yourself in the Lord. Enjoy yourselves in the Lord's presence. In other words, when you're seeing all the things around, learn to trust God first and learn to delight yourself in the presence of God. Seek God in prayer, seek God in the Word, and learn to just soak up what God has for us. How many of you actually have problems reading your Bible whereby when you read the Bible, there's a lot of things happening in your mind, you just cannot concentrate. You know, there's so many things, you know. You know what God says? We need to learn to just settle down and allow God's work to just, allow the goodness, just read what I have, allow the goodness of God to soak into your life. Allow the Word of God to be committed into your life. Allow the Spirit of God to mold your life as you study God's Word and say, God, is this what you say? Is this your goodness that you want for me? Surely goodness and mercy. You mean, Lord, really? You are going to walk with me every minute, all the days of my life? Just let it soak in. Because sometimes what we are concerned about affects us so much. We need to just kind of, when we're in the presence of God, God says, delight yourself. Delight yourself. Sometimes, a good example would be, you know, when you play with your baby. I mean, for us, some of us who are married and we have children. You know, when you play with your baby, the smile kind of makes you forget about everything else, right? When you come back from work or whatever, you carry your child and then everything else is forgotten. That's what it means. Just soak yourself. Allow God to. And by the way, is God doing that to us? God enjoys us. God wants to be with us. God wants to fellowship with us. But you know, as we grow older, the things of this life and the way we think and the stresses kind of help allow get our minds off Christ. God wants us to learn to delight in Him. As we delight in our child. Okay, we carry, we play, we tickle, tickle, and igugagaga, whatever, and then you start laughing and things like that, and everything else is forgotten. Okay, delight ourselves in the Lord. Allowing God's Holy Spirit to mold us. And once that happens, the Bible says He will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? Once there is an allowing of God's life, Spirit, and Word to come into your life, then there's a changing of our minds to God's mind. Whatever that is important to God will become important to us. That's what it means. You know, I used to, I believe you heard preachers heard before. You know, when you delight yourselves in the Lord, and then His desires become your desires. And then when you pray, He'll give you desires in your heart. And I believe that's the process as you learn to spend time with God. Put away the things of this world. And just allow God's Word and His Spirit to soak into your life. And then when God's mind becomes your mind, and when you pray, God will give you desires in your heart. Because why? You are now praying in God's will. According to what God wants. Example, salvation of our loved ones. Example, perhaps in a situation that you find that, God, I really need your wisdom. And then you spend time and just delight yourself and just search God's Word and just study. And then God gives you insight into certain things. Okay? Any questions? So delight yourselves in the Lord. All right? So the few words we have gone through is, fret not thyself, don't be angry, don't be envious in verse 1. Then in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. And then now delight thyself. And then the fifth phrase in verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. The word commit means to give over, hand over the rights. Hand over the rights to God. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Give over your ways, your desires, your directions to God. And then place also faith in His will. And the Bible says, verse 5, and He shall bring things to pass. Just like a little child who has something that's broken, okay, and say, Papa, can you help me? I think I shared this before. And Jeremiah had this thing that was broken many years ago. I think when he was 7 or 6, I can't remember. And he would give me the thing. And every time I try to fix it, try to interfere, I know how. And after 3 or 4 times, I say, okay, if you know how to fix it, then you go ahead and do it, you know. And after, and then he let me take the whole thing. And after it was fixed, then he said, thank you, Papa. And he took it and ran away. Well, is it true sometimes that when we say we commit it to God, we still take it back? Even in our anxiety or whatever, we take it back. And I learned one thing. When we pray, make sure we have no strings attached to our prayers. Because we sometimes pull it back. When we pray, let it go. Okay? Commit thy way unto the Lord. This is so useful when we are concerned, when we are anxious, when in spite of all that we have done, we are still anxious. Agree? Sometimes we do so much and we're still anxious. You know what we're anxious about? We're anxious about the outcome, of which we absolutely have no control over. Only God has. And I believe that's why as you study Psalm 37, you realize God says, hey, let me handle that. Do what you need to do. Understand what I want you to do. And then surrender it to me. And let me handle the outcome. There's one phrase that my pastor in Australia always says, learn to trust God, do the right thing, and leave the consequences to Him. Learn to trust God, do the right thing, and leave the consequences to Him. Okay? And that's so vital, because as I was reading Ecclesiastes today as well, it talked about how we have no control over the future. We can only do what we can now. And do the right thing now. I shared something on Friday, which I like to correct. I shared something about how there was this particular lady in the church in Shanghai that was being pressured by the family to marry a fighter pilot in Shanghai. Okay, and he's under the communist. Of course, you can only be a fighter pilot and rise through the ranks if you are part of the Communist Party. And so Brasso was sharing how this particular lady was under so much pressure because she's a Christian, she's a member of the church, and the parents threatened that if she will not marry the fighter pilot, he will bring the police onto the church. Okay? And I think I mentioned Brasso married her on Friday. I think so. I don't know. Was it? My children were. Sorry? She married that lady. Sorry, sir. She cannot marry the lady. Okay. The lady married the fighter pilot in the end, left the church. But Brasso was sharing with me that his counsel to her, when she knew that the family may call the police on the church, you know what he says? I was there. I wasn't there. The lady left, and then Brasso was sharing with me. The counsel he gave was this. You just do the right thing, God will take care of the church. That's why that was what the counsel. You know, I remember that. I think for you, I know. I remember vividly such counsel. You do the right thing, God will take care of the consequences. God will take care of the church. You know, as a Christian, we need to learn that. We need to learn that. And I believe it reflects the father-son relationship we have as well. Just as a child will say, Papa, you know, I have this problem. Mama, I have this problem. Say, don't worry, I'll handle it. You handle it? Okay, fine. Then the child will just go off and play. And let the parents handle it. Oh, Christians, the Bible teaches us, Jesus says, we need to come to Christ as a little child in simple faith, just trusting Him and letting it go. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring things to pass. Okay? Verse 7, the next phrase, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. The word rest there is very interesting. The word rest in the Hebrew means to be dumb. Don't say anything. Have you ever had people who very anxious, quickly. The word rest in the Hebrew means be dumb. Shh. Keep quiet. All right? Rest in the Lord. Because the more we say, the more we think through, the more... we get more anxious, we get more impatient. Come on, we need to do it now. We can't do it now. God says, shh. Rest in the Lord. It's so hard for us. Sometimes we need to really let people know. But I know what God says. The word rest there means to be dumb. In other words, don't say anything. It's to stop, to cease, to forbear, to hold our peace, to quieten ourselves. You know, sometimes when you go for exams and you're rushing in, there was one time I was supposed to do a presentation that was quite frantic. And my senior therapist said, okay, Johnny, oh, you're supposed to do, okay. You know what she did? You go out, you take 5 minutes, shh, first, be quiet first. Gather your thoughts first. I was supposed to do a senior therapist, which was quite nice. And she said, we go out there, 5 minutes first. You go and calm down first. Let me handle this. You go and help. You go and calm down first. And then you come back in. Basically, to gather your thoughts. Okay? You know, as Christians, we need, in our life situation, in trial, sometimes we just have to and just let God take care of the situation. Rest in the Lord. And then the second one is hard. And wait patiently. But I'm already anxious. What do you mean wait patiently? Keep quiet. And then wait on God. Let Him do what He needs to do. Let Him do what He needs to do. Okay? This is important for us as Christians to understand. The idea of resting the Lord, the idea of silence, to wait. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Okay, let me read what I have. Just learn to wait on God in life events. As human beings, we always have the need for self-gratification. We want it, and we want it yesterday. We want it now. We want it now. Instant gratification, or instant noodles, instant coffee, instant. We want it now. All right, and if I understand from, I was reading one part, when we search the internet, Google has said that if the window don't open within 7 seconds, people will leave. Okay, so you must make sure that it comes out quite instantaneously. That's why they have what 100 meg now, and then, well, what do you call that? Fiber optics to make things very fast. Okay, but God wants us to learn to wait. The here, we want it now, we want it here, we need self-gratification. And God says, as we learn to wait on God, the second part of verse 7, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in this way. But God, if I keep quiet, don't say anything, and just let you handle, that guy is going to get ahead of me, and that guy is doing all the wrong things. How can I just be quiet? You know what God says? God still says, shh. Have you ever spoken to a child? There's a situation, and then the child kids, Papa, you know what, this and this. Then I say, shh, wait. Because you already have a plan, you know what to do, but the child is just, and so anxious, shh, shh. You use the word chill, you know, keep quiet. Because you already have a plan. You know, God has, I want to ask, so thank God, God always has a plan. And we don't have to fret. And that's why in this verse, God says, rest in Him, wait for Him, and don't get too anxious. Fret not thyself because of the evildoers. Because of what we see, things are happening in the wrong way, for example. You know, God asks us to learn to rest in Him. Do not be jealous of the individual who do what he wants and prosper and enjoys life, and also the man who do the wrong things actively. That's in verse 7. God's counsel to us to learn to rest in Him and to wait patiently for Him. Okay? Then the next phrase in verse 8. Cease from anger. The word cease means to stop. Forsake. The word forsake means to walk away. Wrath. Leave off and stop being angry. Leave off wrath. And fret. The word fret means to chill. Okay? Because the word fret means to get warm. Get incensed. God says, don't be angry. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, sometimes in the situation that we are in, whether at the workplace or whatever, and we get angry about certain things, there's a tendency to take action because we say we need to correct that. You know what God says sometimes? Shh, don't do anything. Of course, there's wisdom. There's a time to act, but there's wisdom also. As let's say it's a prolonged thing, it's a big thing, then you may just need to wait on the Lord to do the right thing. Okay? God wants us to learn because, let's put it this way, the reason I believe why God wants us to cease from our anger and forsake wrath, because it will always make us make the wrong decision. It will always lead us to make the wrong decision. Okay? Always I've seen examples before my eyes when I was in Australia, when someone got angry and made a decision and really affected everyone else. And so there's this, God says, be calm in your soul. God's still in charge. Okay, God's still in charge. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Psalm 37, and just Let's read together and let the word of God teach us, okay? Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9. Ready? 1, 2, go. Be not hasty. Ready? Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9. Ready? 1, 2, go. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Okay, so the idea there is don't be too quick to get angry, because otherwise you will lead us to do the wrong decision. Alright? As we conclude, okay, we'll contour a few words. I just maybe quickly recap. Verse 1, fret not thyself. Verse 1 also, don't be envious. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse number 4, delight thyself. Verse number 5, commit thy way. Verse number 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently from Him. Verse number 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, to do the wrong thing. I'll just finish with this. Christians never get a bad deal. Our blessed estate may be delayed, but when it comes with all the blessings that God has for us. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. And hopefully God will give them some insight into the as we run the race in this world. By the way, the race will only end when we see Christ. Okay? Either in death or in the rapture. Okay? The race will end. It's not just a short distance, it's a long distance. Okay? Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us lay aside every weight. Anything that will hinder us. A weight is something that is not sin, but it hinders us. It could be things of this world that is not sin. It could be, I think I shared before, some people who love to watch sports to the point that they'll miss church and whatever. Okay? This is not sin. But you know, God says that anything that is not sin but hinders us from the race, put it away. But also put away the sin that does hinder us. And let us run with patience the race. The word patience means running the race, enduring things we have no control over. That's endurance, patience. And that's a very important principle for a Christian. Because as a Christian, we have, well, on earth 70 years until the time we see Christ. And for us, some of us, we have a shorter time. For some of us, we still have a longer time. But I know a skillful athlete will know to run the marathon, you need to pace yourself. Okay? The running with endurance is a very important principle. I'll read this and then I think we'll just kind of last few thoughts and we finish. On Hebrews chapter 12, there was a man of God who wrote this. We commonly associate patience with just sit down and wait. Just endure. Patience with lying down. We think of it as the angel that guards the couch of the sick. That means when I'm suffering something, I just have to bear with it. And therefore, I need to be patient. Let's say my leg is very painful and I have no choice. I've got to be in a wheelchair. I've got to be patient with it. Yet there's a patience that is harder. This is one part of patience, but there's another patience that is harder. What is that? It's the patience that can run. It's the patience that can run. It's a patience that says, I have all these burdens on me. It's a patience that says, I carry all these stresses with me. It's a patience that says, I know the difficulties that will beset me. It's a patience that says, I will still run, regardless of that. That's harder. If we face something and we are patient within there, it's still patience. But you know, a harder patience is, I'll still carry that cross and run for the Lord. I'll still carry all these things on me and run for the Lord. There was a Reverend Johnson in Australia. He was a pastor who came from England. And in the 18th or 1700s, they sent the convicts from England to Australia. Okay, Australia is last time was known as a convict country. All right, where they exiled basically all the English prisoners there. And Reverend Johnson with his family sailed there many months, traveled to be with convict country. And he believed his role was to preach to those convicts and try to win them to Christ. In his testimony, he finds that over 20, 30 years of ministry there, he never had more than 20 persons in the congregation. The governor during that time didn't allow a building for him to worship in. Many times the services were held beside at the beach. And sometimes he may try to help someone and he'll give a Bible to the person will sell the Bible to get a drink. He had to bury his wife. His wife died and one or two children died there. But Reverend Johnson remained faithful and kept on running until he met Christ. That's the patience we need in Singapore. It's not the patience. Yeah, we still need patience when we are sick and when there's pain. But the patience of running the Christian race, even though it's so hard, even though there's so much stresses, that our eyes will continually fix on Christ and say, Lord, you were my example. Despite the forsaking of the people, despite the pain, despite the tiredness that he didn't sleep the night before, you still went to the cross. Despite the pain of the crucifixion, despite the taunting of the people, you still hung on the cross. That is the patience that this man of God was talking about. A faith, a patience that runs. To lie down in the time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of adverse fortune implies great strength. But I know of something that implies a greater strength. It is the power to work under stress, to have a great weight in your heart and still run, to have a deep anguish in your spirit and still perform the daily tasks. This is a Christ-like thing. And Christ wants us to be like Him. And that's why today's simple lesson on Psalm 37 is to teach us, you know, in the midst of all the trials of life, we need to learn to be quiet in our heart. So that as we learn Christ's patience to run the race, we will have this patience that this man is talking about. Because in verse number 2 of Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down in the right hand of the throne of God. You know the encouragement for us? Trials are always temporary. The most they last is this lifetime. The most. You know, for some other trials, it lasts a few months, a few weeks. But you know what? Let's learn to have the patience of Christ to the point that we can, as we close our eyes, just like Jesus did, we can say, it is finished. God, I have run the race. I finished my course. The hardest thing is that most of us are called to exercise our patience, not in the sick bed, but in the street. To wait is hard. To do it with good courage is harder. But you know what? We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Alright, any questions? Christians are in best, learn to rest in the Lord. Okay, as we serve God, as we go through the life, as we go through some of the responsibilities we have, sometimes it's important for us to just take a back seat, rest in the Lord, don't say anything, wait on Him, do what we need to do, and just run the race with patience. Okay, any questions? Any questions? Let's just close in word of prayer, right? Let's close in word of prayer. Maybe just spend a few moments, by yourself just praying and committing the words that you've learned, like rest in the Lord, commit thy way, fret not, and just pray. And say, Lord, help me to have a peace in my heart to know that you are in charge. Things may go on, the world may do things which are against your will, but yet, Lord, help me to know that you are still at the center of all these things, and you rule in the affairs of man. We'll take a few moments and I'll close in prayer, alright? By yourself in your own silent prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this simple lesson in Psalm 37. How, Lord, it's so easy for us quickly to respond to the things of this world, the surroundings and the wickedness and the injustices that happen in this world. According to Psalm 37, how quickly we get angry, how quickly we get envious, how quickly we get resentful. Because of the human nature, our response to want control over those situations. But how in Psalm 37 you taught us, Lord, that the wicked will be cut off. Every injustice, Lord, will be dealt with. But more than anything, the righteous, Lord, will be stable. The righteous will be provided for. And the righteous will have the promise of eternal life. And then, Lord, the third point you taught us not to be angry, not to fret. Lord, not to be envious at the wicked who have all so-called fun, knowing that one day it will all be cut off, all be destroyed. That the things of this world, Lord, are merely temporary. And because you have saved us, you have given us an eternal soul. You have given us, Lord, the heart to look towards eternal things. Help us to have the proper vision and perception of the things, Lord, of this life. Lord, we thank you that you have taught us to commit our ways to you. Lord, to give over the right of any situation to you. To give it over to you completely. Lord, also to rest in you. Lord, to be dumb in your presence, to be quiet. As the Bible teaches us, let all the earth keep silent before the Lord. Father, we know that you are teaching us, Lord, just to be still in our hearts as we seek you in the busyness of our lives, to learn to wait on you. For Lord, waiting is difficult for a person in the flesh. But God, waiting is absolutely what is necessary for us as Christians to be disciplined before you, so that we might hear your voice. Lord, we thank you. In the midst of our busyness, you are still our rock. You are still our fortress. The word of God is unchanging. And Lord, you can be trusted because you are the same yesterday, today, forever. And Father, teach us as we serve you in the different capacities, whether in our families, whether in our workplace, whether in our school, whether in the local church, or whether in any ministries. The Lord, above all, our heart will be still before you. And God, knowing that you who have all power is able to overcome, teach us, Lord, to learn to yield to you first and allow you to do your work through us. I pray for every member of Ambassador Baptist Church that these thoughts will be so precious, Lord, as they face the different trials in their lives, different things that may happen. I pray for Sister Anna even right now. Lord, I ask that you would help her, Lord, to see this. And I'm sure brethren and sisters here as well perhaps are going through decisions they have to make for your honor and glory. They want to aim to do the right thing all the time, and yet, Lord, there are difficulties, whether it's external or internal. I pray, Father, this passage of Scripture will help us to trust in the Lord and do the right thing. And God, allowing your grace to work in our lives, allowing your Spirit to work in our lives, that when the outcome comes, Lord, all glory will go back to you. I pray for every young person as well, that as they look at the things of this world, help them to see it from your glasses, help them to see it from your perspective, that all these things will be temporary, all these things are merely pleasures for a season, a short time, and all these things one day will be destroyed. But yet, Lord, your love is eternal. Your service in your name, the rewards will be eternal, and one day we will live with you eternally. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray you bless the service later on, and keep our hearts, Lord, rested in you. And help us, Lord, to have the love of Jesus in our hearts for both you and each other and for the world around us. Lord, help us. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.